Well, I am so pleased to introduce to you Pastor Mark. The last 2 years, he has joined us only by video, right? During COVID, you sent videos for us. But now we get to see you, our real live person. And you may remember that Carrie and I, we were in India just last year, visiting Pastor Mark, and we have been there several times. But so pleased to have you come here and share the word of God with us. Pastor Mark is not only a friend, but he is a man of God who continually challenges me in my faith. And Lord, I thank you for Pastor Mark. And I pray, Lord, that as he brings the word this morning, Lord, that it would be a word from your mouth, and that you, Holy Spirit, would help us with ears to hear it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. One button there.
Yes.
Hello. Yeah, good. Thank you very much, Pastor Joel, for introducing me. In fact, I remember coming here in 2014, or I think it was in 2015. I had been here in this church, and amazing. And you should know that Pastor Joel was the one that God used for us to connect with Hopewell. Yeah, he came in 2011, yeah. And so God used him. And so that's how we are connected with the Hopewell, and a lot of things the Lord is doing over the years, and through conferences that Carrie and Pastor Joel had been there, you know, and preaching and especially ministering for the women is just amazing. And thank you very much, Pastor Joel and Carrie, for coming. Okay. And thank you very much, Pastor Joel and Carrie, for inviting me this morning to bring God's word, which is very important for all of us to read God's word and meditate God's word and hold on to God's word, even the promises of God. Before I bring you the Lord's word, I would love you to see what we are doing in India. First of all, I want you to see this video clip of our children home. We are having three major ministries that we are doing, but one of that is a children home that till now, since 1995, we have cared for more than 800 children, and we still are having children, caring for them, leading them to Jesus, and they are shining light for Jesus. And even our friend Leon was there in the children home, and Pastor Joel and Carrie were there. And this 2 weeks we had wonderful time with Matt and Laura. It was just amazing connections. Praise God. So now you get to see this video.
Today we're traveling to the southern area of India, near the city of Bangalore. Outside the big, bustling city, you'll find an orphanage called Victory Children's Home. An orphanage is a place where children stay who don't have parents or whose parents or family can't take care of them. Sadly, the country of India has many orphaned children. As many as 30 million children in India have no family to take care of them. That's more than the population of the 10 largest cities in the United States combined. But the 150 children that stay at Victory Children's Home have found a place where they are loved, cared for, and surrounded by people who love Jesus. This is a home full of kids and joy. Danush and Yashvant are two brothers who live here. The orphanage provides everything they need: food, a place to sleep, school uniforms, Bible study, worship, friendships, and so much more. The brothers sleep in bunks in a room with other boys. Every morning, kids have chapel. The leaders always tell the kids how much Jesus loves them. All the kids here have chores to do to help keep the orphanage clean. When they come back from school, kids change out of their school uniforms and have some free time.
Hi!
Like you, kids in India love to play games. Dhanush and Yashvant like cricket best. They also like to ride bikes. In India, kids love to sing and dance. Victory Children's Home has its own garden where the kids help grow food. Dhanush and Yashvant like to help take care of the garden. Even though they're surrounded by love and friendship, sometimes the boys get sad. They miss their family. But they know that they are loved here and find joy in being loved by their new family, with so many brothers and sisters. God has given them a new, happy home full of love.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. You can know more about our ministries. We have 13 or 14 kinds of ministries. And with the permission of Pastor Joel, I kept the flyers at the desk. You could really pick it up. And that tells you all about the Raise Up His Ministries and what we are doing. Now we are overseeing even 150 churches in our network. And so we want you to really pray and connect with us. And we also rescue women and girls from temple prostitution. So that is also one of our major and risky ministry, but God has really protected us. So you can have all the information here. And we are really looking for partners because partnership is so powerful. You can start, partnering with us if you cannot do it today. But we are looking for partners who can partner with us $39 per month for child that will take care of a child. You can do it for one child or two children or five children. Whatever the Lord lays in your heart, you can really pray. The power in the partnership, I will tell you a small story. In Bible it says in Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 and 20, Paul has written this particular verse to Philippians. Especially it says, may the Lord provide all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It is specially and uniquely and specifically written only for the partners who partners with Paul's ministry in planting the churches and preaching the gospel is because Paul is praying here for the partners so that the ministry that he has that will come upon the partners. And we also really pray for regular partners who pray for us, who financially help us, and we have seen some miracles happening. One of the women I remember from California, several years ago, she came up with partnering with Raise Up Peace on a monthly offering, sowing the seed for two or three children. And one day it so happened, she had a teenage boy who went off course nearly for 7 to 8 years. She never happened to come to India. But one day she just calls me through the phone and she says, Pastor Mark, my son, the teenage boy who is off course, he is not reading the Bible, he is not praying, he doesn't attend the church, he doesn't even listen to us parents. But he is going to come to your house. for a week, and from there he is going to travel to Germany, and then he is going to come back to my home. Well, that time we didn't have a very good house where people could come and have a place, you know, guest house and so on. Anybody who came, they had to just be with us. So my family were really thinking like a teenage boy who is not reading the Bible, not praying, and he is into all addiction, coming and staying in my flat, in my room. Wow, what to do? So all we know is pray for our partners. We started praying. Of course, we do that, praying for our partners every week in our family. And so we were praying for this woman and for our children. And anyway, we set up a small cot and a mattress and a pillow. But I had all my daughters and Stephen. We did hold on to the pillow and we prayed, asking the Lord to intervene in this boy whose name was Shane. Lord, this teenage boy is going to come and going to spend his time for a week in our house. We want you to touch his life and that he will be transformed before he goes to United States. Okay, he comes and we picked him up from airport. He comes and he sleeps on that bed. He joins us with a dinner, lunch and breakfast, but he didn't want to attend our family prayer. We have every evening family prayer. He didn't want to attend. He would go out and through the window, he used to peep and he used to just see what we are doing, like we are singing, we are praying. I'm just preaching the word. And then we pray for people. He saw that for a week. Then he goes back to Germany. After a month, he comes back again to California. And then after 15 days, I got a phone call from the Shane's mother. This time she was not crying. She was not weeping. She was not sad. But this time she was rejoicing. I was wondering what happened. And she said, Pastor Mark, do you know what happened? God transformed my son, and now he is not an alcoholic person. He has got the Bible in his hand, and he is helping his pastor in the church, and he is no more into addiction. And I said, what in the world? Who did that? What happened? She said, God used your family. When he came there, Shane saw that you were dedicated and radical worshipers, and you were reading Bible and praying, loving the Lord, that changed his heart. Even now, Shane is a wood carver in California. He does a very big business, but he still loves the Lord. That's the power of partnership. So I really pray that the Lord will speak to you through this story, and please become the partners for Raise Up Pace. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I would like to come up with the word that the Lord has for you. And let's turn our Bibles, if you have your Bibles, or we'll see in the PowerPoint. It's taken from 2 Chronicles 20, verse 14 to 19. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 14 to 19. Let me read it for you. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jezreel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the middle of the congregation. Verse 15, and he said, listen, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this large horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Look, they will come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jerusalem, Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Take up your position. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem prostrate themselves before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice. So today I want to speak to you on the title that's named Take Your Position. We get this, I get this title for my message from verse 17. In verse 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. Take up your position and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them to the Lord, for the Lord will be with you. Okay, so the title of my message is Take Up Your Position. We know the background of this story. Everyone, you might have heard several sermons on this particular passage, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is a king, and one day he heard a message. A message comes to him, and the message goes like, three nations' armies came up against Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat and all his people are worried and they are afraid. And so Jehoshaphat calls all the people and he says, okay, let's go into the presence of God and let's ask the Lord for his help. He had an army, but still he depended upon the Lord. Then Bible says, we read it in further passage, that they all stood in the presence of God. And this is what he said in his prayer. Lord, this is a big army and a great army. We have no strength. We do not know what to do. And that time, God sent this prophet, Ahaziel. God sent this prophet, and this prophet says, take up your position. So in our lives, we all come up with a situation where we say to God, Lord, I just don't know what to do. Maybe you are sitting here today. You may be put up in a situation and you may be crying out in your heart, Lord, I don't know what to do. What should I do? You may be sitting here today praying, even during the worship. You may be crying out to God, Lord, what to do? Let me tell you a story. In 2021, we know that there was, you know, 20 and 21, there was a COVID and there was a lockdown, shutdown, nearly for 3 or 4 months all over the world. And even our country too had this shutdown. So one day, we are sitting at children's home, especially myself and Stephen and my second daughter, whom Stephen married. And so we are sitting there puzzled and worried about. Next day, we had no food for these children and for the girls. Next day onwards, no food. That is number one problem. I'm just explaining you the situation that Jehoshaphat was in. Maybe you are also in some kind of situation like this. That is number one. No food from the next morning for all the children and for all the staffs in the children's home. Second, the same time the previous days, we also, you know, ran out of water in the bored well that we used to build this children home and also to provide children the water and for cows and, you know, chickens and all that. So the well we used to get water for 10 years, it dried up. That is second problem. So we were put in a situation like, we cannot go out, okay? We cannot go out. Where do you get water? And then where do you get all the supply of groceries and food for these children? So myself and Stephen, we are just sitting there, and Jessica, yes, one question came like, what are we going to do the next day? The Lord told us, take up your position. And you know what was the position the Lord told us? Be silent. The Lord will fight for you. Today the word came to all of us. Be silent and the Lord will fight for you. That was our position that we had to take. We just prayed, Lord, we thank you for providing the food for all these children. Lord, you didn't want to start this children home that the children will go in lack. But we know. The Lord who gave us the vision, he will give us the provision. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometime I think we should stop talking and we should just start listening. Come on. Thank God for the word today. Come on. The Lord will fight for us if we are silent. And guess what? 5 minutes just after we both were silent in our Facebook Messenger, of course, I don't see much to my social media because my children use that. And so there was a pop-up message that came 5 minutes right after we became silent. We took our position, And then 5 minutes later, we got this message. A person from United States, he's from India, but he lives in Virginia. Of course, he's our friend, but we never even thought or dreamt that we will get a message from him. He said, Pastor Mark, I have my wife's parents who live 2 hours drive from Bangalore, okay? Are you interested to go and pick up the bags of rice and all the groceries that you need for a month? Wow, praise God. Come on. Praise God. If we are silent, God will work. And so immediately, okay, myself, Stephen, okay, we praise God. God answered our prayer. We took our mini truck and we go there and we get all these things that we needed for children. And that's how God provided us. So why did I tell you this story? It's because maybe many of you are put up in a situation in your life that the Lord is asking you today to take up your position. So I'm going to speak to you 4 positions of God's children. Okay? 4 positions of God's children. What should be our position? Okay, number one. In verse 17 it said, Jehoshaphat, a prophet comes to Jehoshaphat and he says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Take up your position. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. The first position is move forward. Do you have that? Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Today the Lord is asking you to move forward. The Lord has spoken to you the word. There are promises that were spoken to you. Maybe in your personal devotion, or maybe when you came to church through your pastor, or maybe you turned on the television. A servant of God, he spoke to you the word of God. But you are just keeping silent. But the Lord is telling, come on. Take a step of faith, move forward. So what is the meaning of moving forward here for us? You know, that day for Jehoshaphat, the Lord spoke through the prophet. The Lord said, you move forward. The people had to just move forward in faith. But how does it apply to us, moving forward? In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, of course, it's not here. And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor, and you love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know what is moving forward for us today? It is prioritize your priority in loving the Lord first. The first time of your day, take your time to love God. You know, what is the meaning of loving? The meaning of loving you is that you give time to be with that person. That is what the meaning of love. So moving forward means the Lord wants you to move forward in spending time with God in his word and in prayer and in worship. you know, after the COVID and a lot of things, I mean, during the COVID, I mean, people, they got enough time to spend time with God and His word and prayer. But then everything went on well. Now people are just like, you know, so many people. I'm not talking about you, but I'm just telling in general, there are so many people are like, okay, everything is going on well. Why do I have to read Bible? Why do I have to pray? Why do I have to worship the Lord? Come on. The Lord says, love the Lord. That is moving forward. Moving forward means taking that position. In Psalms 91 verse 1 and 2, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Dear God's people, we need to be under the wings of the Almighty God. That means spend quality time with God on a daily basis. And that's what is moving forward position. Okay? That is what we need. And the third thing is moving forward means in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 15 it says, and your feet fitted with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The God has called us. The first thing in our life, every day when you wake up, the first thing in your life is you spend time with God. Move forward with that posture and you will see God fighting for you. There is a woman in our church. She's a single woman and she lost her husband, but she has three teenage children. And recently, she lost her boy, means he was not seen. Either he was kidnapped or he was not seen or he went with his friends. We just don't know. Teenage boy. And so she, because of that situation, she didn't stop reading the Bible. She didn't stop coming to church. She didn't stop her devotion to the Lord. She became radical, in fact, even more to spend time with God. She is never absent to the church, okay? And she is never absent to the prayer. She in fact went more in loving God, giving time to God. 8 months, her son, teenage boy, was not seen. This happened this year. And so we had a 21 days of fasting and prayer, worship and word and prayer in our church. Then one day Stephen gets up on the platform and he started preaching the word. And he came to a portion in the Bible that says about your people, even though if they are hiding or if they are scattered, God will bring them back. He gave some scriptures from the Word of God. He just was preaching the promises of God. And this woman, she lost her son. What we would do if you lose your son or daughter? Sometimes you miss the church or sometimes you even say, why do I read the Bible? Why do I pray? No, this woman was not like that. She took her position. Come on. She moved forward. And she did hold on to the promise that the Lord spoke through Stephen. And guess what? Before we came to the United States, we left on September 5th. But on September 3rd, I went to her house. And she said, Pastor Mark, I just got hold on to the word that God spoke to through Stephen, and that was the word to me, and I took my position again to moving forward. I never stopped reading the Bible. I never stopped coming to church. I never stopped worshiping the Lord. I was just, you know, being saturated in the presence of God. God spoke to me through that word, and one evening, I am just in my home, sitting at the door. I'm just praying, and I saw my son came back. Come on. I went and prayed for her son. Come on. 8 months he was not seen, but she took her position moving forward by giving quality time to God, quality time to the Word of God, and she started telling about her miracle to people even though her son was not seen. But, the police authorities were sending her pictures to her daughter saying that maybe, you know, your brother, is dead. So any, dead bodies, they would send the pictures saying that, is this your son? She said, no, my son is living. Because the Lord has spoken to me. Come on. Today, the Lord is telling to every one of you, your position is, come on, get back to the presence of God. Get back to the church. Be radical in your worship and prayer and word. That's the first position. Let's go to the next position in verse 18. What's your position when you are facing such kind of a difficult problems? In verse 18, it says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem prostrate themselves before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. So what's our second position? Is move as you praise, or while you praise. Okay? What do you mean by praising? In Acts chapter 16, verse 24, it says, having received such a command, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. In verse 25, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors opened and everyone's chain became loose. So when Jehoshaphat was in this problem, he couldn't do anything. The prophet comes to him and says, okay, keep singing, keep worshiping the Lord. Bible says that the king, he has got the soldiers, he has got the weapons, but still he goes and worships the Lord. He puts his face to the ground and he worships the Lord. How is our worship to the Lord? How are we worshiping the Lord? Are we radical in our worship? That is very, very important. The worship, talks about here, Paul and Silas were in prison and their prayer switched on to praise. Many times, we pray. That's good. Our, spiritual life starts with prayer, but then it should end up in praise. Now, Paul is in the prison and he's praising God. Come on. So maybe you are in a situation that you don't know what to do. You are saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. The answer is, when you do not know what to do what you know, and God will do what you do not know. Come on. So you know to worship the Lord. Come on, worship the Lord. That's your position. I mean, the worldly people talks. The worldly people, go on questioning or debating. But as God's children, the Lord is calling us to take quality time to worship the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, it says, therefore, brethren, because of the mercies of God, I plead with you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So worship, as you move praising God. Be a radical worshiper of the Lord. When you wake up in the morning, and even your whole day, even if you are working, even if you are studying, even if you are cooking, whatever, start worshiping the Lord. Several years ago, I went to a house. I was invited to a neighboring state to preach the word. And then the pastor asked me to stay in a widow's house. She had four children. But they lived in a small hut, hut that is made out of the coconut tree, branches. And the dried branches. If I tell about that, I think Pastor Joel and Leon will know what I'm talking about. It's not a beautiful, air-conditioned, flat. No. It's just done out of leaves. And so she lived there. But, the pastor asked me to go and stay there with them. She just had this one place. But she was a woman who was waking up 4 o'clock in the morning. She was praying and she was reading the Bible, memorizing scriptures, and she was also speaking in tongues in the spirit, speaking the mysteries to God. And after 15 years, I go back again to that church, and there was another pastor, but the pastor told, do you know this widow where you used to go there and sleep 15, you know, take rest 15 years ago? I told, yes. Then he takes me there. I thought she still had the hut, but it was changed. She had a four-story building, and then I just, you know, was talking to her. She was fully full of joy and happiness, and I asked her, where are your children? She said, my children, one became a worship leader, another became a doctor, another became an engineer, and they are all loving the Lord. And like that, I was wondering, like, what happened? She said, because I woke up early in the morning, worshiping the Lord, taking my position, start praising God. Even I didn't have proper food, proper clothing to my children, but I started giving my time to God in praising and worshiping God. God changed my house even. Praise God. Dear God's people, I think everyone here, I believe everyone here, including me, we need to give quality time, the first time to God in worshiping and praising God. That's how we can see that we can come out of our situation, any bad situation that you are going through. And number three, the action that the Lord is asking us to take is in verse 20. It says, and they got up early in the morning, that's what Jehoshaphat did, and went out in the wilderness to Tekoa. And as they were going out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah. Sometime we need to listen. Come on. We need to stop speaking and we need to start listening. He said, hear me, O Judah. Everybody was talking. They were talking about the nations that came against him, the army, the strong army. They were not discussing, they were discussing about the problem. But here Jehoshaphat comes and he says, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. What is the third position that they took? It was, they moved believing. Come on. Everybody say believing. Believing. Yeah. You need to believe. What do we have to believe? We have to believe the word of God. Whose report do you believe? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13 says, since we have the same spirit of faith as what is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. Today the Lord is asking you, what are you speaking? Speak the word of God. Paul says here, I believe and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. Come on. Let me tell you something. For America, the Lord is calling you deeper and the Lord is calling you higher. Come on. You can change your world. You can change your politics. You can change your authorities. Just believe the word. What if every family sacrificed one Sunday ball game tournament and they thought, like, okay, let's all sit together for an hour as a family. Let's all read the Bible. Let's all pray. Let's all worship. I'll tell you, you will have a wonderful marriage. You will have a wonderful family. I'm not just telling this as a sermon. As a family, we do that. As a family, we do that on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. We just take time. Yeah, there are times. Thank God for the entertainment. Thank God for the sports. In fact, I'm a very good volleyball player. I'm a very good setter, in fact. Okay? But let me tell you, I sacrifice. And I've seen God moving in a miraculous way. God wants to change your situation. But if you take the position of believing the word of God. How much time do you spend time in the word of God? How much time do you give to read the word of God and study the word of God? One day, the Lord spoke to me to go to this village. This village was occupied by four temples. Nobody wanted to go. In fact, some Christians told me, this is a very radical, fanatic Hindu village, And that too, there is four temples, and I think you cannot go there and preach the gospel. I told, the Lord is speaking to me to go to this village and preach the gospel. They said, you can be killed if you go to that village, because it's very it's a stronghold. So what we did, we took our position. Number one is praying and praising and listening to the Holy Spirit. We had to take a few days to fast and pray and listen from the Lord. And the Lord said, you are going to go there and preach the gospel. And I have people there. It's a stronghold and four temples. Nobody would love to go there. The Lord said that I want you to go there. But, and while praying, the Holy Spirit is talking to me through word. You know, when I pray, the Lord gives me some word and I hold on to it. God has given you some words through somebody, maybe over the years, maybe over the months, or maybe God has spoken to you yesterday or last Sunday. Just hold on to it. That's your picture before the promise comes true. Come on. And so the word came to me, the Lord says to me, you will not die, but you will live and you will declare the glory of God, work of God. And I said, Lord, they are going to kill me. And all the people are saying to me that you will be killed if you go there. The Lord said, will you obey them or will you obey me? And I said, Lord, okay, I'm just available. I'll just go there. And as I went to that village with my wife and with co-workers, the temples are just behind me, four temples. And then there's a small road in front of me. And I am just standing over here. And people started coming. They started hearing the word of God that I am preaching. But 5 minutes after I started preaching, four young people, they come to me. And one of them, they say to me, hey, you are not going to come here following week, next week. Who gave you permission for you to come here and preach the gospel? I said, Jesus. And he said, well, I am the leader of this village, so you are not going to come and preach the gospel here. And he said, if you are going to come and preach the gospel, I am going to break your leg. This is what he said. And he sent us back. So we go to home. We declared 3 or 4 days of fasting and prayer. We started praying, and the Lord started speaking to us. I have people there. I want you to go there. And the Lord said, I will protect you. I will guide you. And the Lord started giving me words after words, and I had to hold on to that words. But still, I was sometime in my prayer dictating to the Holy Spirit, and I was telling, like, they are going to kill me. The Lord said, will you believe what others says, or will you believe my report? So I did hold on to the word of God. And the next week, we all go there and we started preaching the word of God. There were a few people who were listening to the word of God, and then the gospel. And then these four people come. They had a big, you know, kind of a stick that was very thick. And all these four people come, you know. And this is a road, and people are watching me, listening to the gospel, and I am preaching. And as the four people were coming, they are coming to break my leg, okay? And one man was, you know, coming, and as soon, even though I was, you know, kind of puzzled, fearful, the Holy Spirit started telling to me, you have read my word in Sodom and Gomorrah. When the people came to, you know, abuse the Lot's family, angels blinded the people's eye. Come on, take that word, start using your authority. I said, in Jesus' name, all four men, let your eyes be blinded. And so the four men, they are walking, and I'm preaching, and in front of me, the one person is telling, where is that man who was supposed to preach today? He was supposed to come here and preach the word of God. Where is he? I'm not able to see me. I'm not able to see him. And so they go back to the house. 15 years later, I got a call from the phone. And this one person, he said, do you remember this village? I said, yes. Do you remember 15 years before he came and preached? I said, yes. And do you remember we said to you that that if you are going to continue to preach the gospel, we'll break your leg? Yes. And he told, I was the one who said to you that I'm going to break your leg. But you are the person, you blinded my eyes. Do you know what I did? I went back to my home and I knelt down and prayed, Jesus, if you are real God, if you are a true God, give me my eyesight back. the Lord Jesus gave me my eyesight back, and I started reading the Bible, and then I became the associate director of India Bible League. Come on. Praise God. Come on. Today, the Lord is asking every one of you, I'm going to finish my sermon telling you one more position, but I want to tell you, what's your position today? Don't listen to what the worldly people are saying. Yes, there are things happening. Fact is fact. But we are God's children. We are supposed to walk according to the word of God. Believe the word of God. That's what Jehoshaphat said. That's how we see Jehoshaphat and his whole nation won the victory, and they were dancing and celebrating. You can have that victory. You can have that blessing if you continue to believe the word of God. And the last one is in verse 29 and 30, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Verse 30, so the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God gave him rest all around. Move peacefully. Come on. Come back. You know, hold on to the peace that Jesus has given to you. Move peacefully. Maybe some of you are having a lot of questions. The Lord is saying to you, come on, rest. What do you mean by rest? Matthew chapter 11, 28 and 29 says, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come on. Today the Lord is calling many of you to rest. You may be having questions. You may be worried. You may be disturbed. You may be listening to what people are saying. Or maybe you turn your TV and you get all this, you know, all this trash news and everything. And you just want to adopt some kind of, highlights. Come on, I am telling you, today the Lord is telling, just be at rest. How do you get this rest? Bible says in verse 29, take my yoke on you and learn of me. Come on, we need to learn from the word of God, from Lord Jesus Christ. Sometime we need to just sit there and listen to what the Lord is telling. So today, I'm going to conclude my message. The Lord has spoken to us four positions. And the Lord is telling, what's your position today? Maybe you are going through some sickness, you are going through some disease, or you may be going through some problems, or even you may be not able to improve yourself in prayer and praise and worship, or you may be having some, you are feeling that you don't want to pray, you don't want to read the Bible, you want to meditate, you don't want to, have relationship with God. I want to tell you, somebody asked me, sometimes I don't feel like to pray. So they asked me, what is an answer if you don't feel like to pray? I said, pray. Yeah. I don't want to pray. You pray. You start praying. You tell the name of Jesus. Come on. And that's where you get that fire to pray. Come on. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, you can pray hours together. And that's your position. So today, the Lord is telling, move peacefully. And the second one is move believing. And the third one, move while praising. And the first one we see that move forward. Move forward in your personal devotion to God and in your personal time with God. That's when you will see that you will walk victoriously on this earth. And let's pray. Let's pray. If the Lord has spoken to you, and if you really want to see the victories that Jehoshaphat had, I want you to raise up your hand and I want to pray for you. Yes, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for each and every, Lord, child of God who is seated over here. Lord, today you are calling upon these people. Lord, you have spoken through your word, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus, just like Jehoshaphat faced, they may be facing, Lord, some problems or some issues or some things in their life, Lord Jesus. They don't know what to do, Lord. Lord, today you have spoken, Lord, that they have to just move forward in their devotion to you, Lord. That they have to move forward in praising. They have to move forward in believing. They have to move forward in peaceful condition, Lord, that they may be rest, have the rest in their souls, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus, that they will see the miracle working of God. Yes, Lord Jesus, today you said, stand still and see what the Lord is going to do. The Lord will fight for you. Lord Jesus, as you fought for us in India, Lord Jesus, as we trusted your word, as we are trusting your word, Lord, we want that same thing to happen over here for this congregation, that they will take up their position. Yes, Lord Jesus, as child of God, as servant of God, as ambassador of Jesus Christ, by worshiping, by praying, by praising, and by believing your word, Lord, to be obedient to your word, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for speaking to us this morning. We thank you for this church, for this part of the body of Christ. And Lord Jesus, we pray that we speak health, we speak wholeness of health, and we speak peace and rest to all these people, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now over to Pastor Joel. Yeah.